Morning, we're reading from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. I'll just give you a chance to find that. So Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they who have will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Well, this week I went to my GP and I was having that experience of having to go to the waiting room. That's the name, right? The waiting room. And as soon as you enter the waiting room, you see how they want to help you to wait, because there's little tables of magazines. But I have to admit, I thought to myself, well, they're just little petri dishes full of germs. I'm not going to touch them. Thank you very much. But there was comfy chairs. There was TV. Notice not everyone was facing the TV screen. And why would you when you've got your own little screen? Waiting room. You know, what I noticed about the waiting room, it's prime time for getting onto Facebook and playing Candy Crush and looking at the news. Now, there is that type of waiting, dull, inactive, sitting around. But there's another type of waiting that's busy and industrious. I'll put it like this. Imagine you've got a builder doing this big reno job at your place. He's got this big long list that you've given him to do. And we'd expect, wouldn't you, if your builder does something like, you know, plastering a wall and there's a waiting time for that plaster to dry. Well, while that's happening, he's not going to just wait around and do nothing, is he? No, he's going to use that waiting time to do this and get on with that and do that. Use that time while he waits. If you came home one day and you saw the builder on your couch playing Candy Crush, you'd be like, dude, what are you doing? I'm not paying you for this. Well, see, there's such a thing as waiting. But there's something about, you know, you can get on with doing things in the meantime. Waiting time does not have to mean wasting time. There's a productivity, there's energy, there's a sense of making use of the time while you've got the time. Now, we're looking at this parable, this story of Jesus that he gave. It's a story about waiting. It's a story Jesus gave his disciples to help them prepare there will be this time of waiting until he returns. Now, right at this moment in Matthew's gospel, as you read it there, Jesus will soon be betrayed by one of his, you know, close band of followers. He'll be taken to the cross. He will die. He will shed his blood so that those who trust in him get to have forgiveness from God and new life in him. And Jesus will be raised again. Jesus will be risen as the risen king. And then the good news of the gospel of Jesus goes out and the church grows. But as the church grows, also there's opposition and there's suffering. Now, Jesus promised that. But also, Jesus made this promise that you see in this parable that he will come again. He will come again. It's now been 2,000 years since Jesus was raised, but still he's preparing his disciples. He will come again, and we need to wait. This parable is about preparing us to wait, but not with, you know, dull, inactive, faithless, you know, twiddling our thumbs, waiting. But as we expect Jesus' return, that we would be in this sort of active, productive, fruitful, faith-filled, love-motivated service and work for him. And on this, our annual Vision Sunday, I want us at Christ Center to be thinking about how for us, waiting time should not mean wasting time. How God calls on his people, his church, to be about the king's business, serving and working and investing, expending energy and effort and giving it all until he comes again. Now, there's three parts to me being up front here and talking to you this morning. And firstly, I want to quickly explain some things about this parable. And then secondly, I want to draw out for us just a bunch of really important principles that come from this parable. And then thirdly, on our vision side, I want to talk about some of the challenges, some of the really great opportunities that are put before us as a church. So the first part, just to point out a few things about this parable so that we basically understand what it's saying. Matthew 25. Now, it's a story of a master who goes on a journey. Before he leaves, he calls in three of his servants and he gives them a job to do while he's away. Three different servants with three different amounts. Now, the Bible versions can be different here, but the one that Emily read before, it says five bags of gold to one, to another two bags of gold, to another one bag. Actually, for Christians, this has been, quite a well-known parable for Christians, a parable of Jesus. And in our English Bibles, a lot of the Bibles have the word talents. Maybe your Bible has that, or maybe you've heard about that. To one, he gave five talents, to another two talents, to another one talent. Maybe you know this as the parable of the talents. And this word talent is interesting because it makes you think, this word talents, that's ability, it's gifts, it's the thing that I'm good at. You know, like I have a talent, I can repair a car, I'm good at cooking and hospitality, I'm good with numbers and spreadsheets, I'm good with art. You know, that's my talent. But in fact, the word talent originally actually was a measure of weight. It was a quantity of currency. So it makes sense that the Bible versions are translating it as five bags of gold, two bags of gold to another, one bag of gold to the other. Literally, that's what it was. It's talking about money here. So if you hear the phrase, the parable of the talents, don't go straight to the way talent you might think about. In fact, just to prove it, have a look in your Bibles. Go to verse 15. Jesus just can't be saying something like, have a look there. He can't be saying to one he gave five talents or abilities, to another two talents or abilities, and to another one talent or ability, depending on each one's abilities. It doesn't make sense. So in the story, it's a money thing. That's what this master gives his servant before he leaves them. And verse 19, we're told he's away for a long time. But he comes back again. And it's time now for him to settle the accounts. In other words, he wants to know what his servants have done with what he's given them in the days, in the months, maybe the years he's been away. And there's these judgments, these evaluations the master makes on how his servants have gone about working and investigating and producing and capitalizing on what he's given them. And we've got those, I think they're just beautiful words. the master gives his servant. Have a look there just for one example. Verse 21, his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things." Now we're going to think about some really important principles that come from this story. But before we get there, just so you can properly understand what this parable is about, I want to say this. Even though in the story it's literally money, it's bags of gold, I reckon we're not supposed to see it only, solely about money. See, this parable, it's about living life as a servant of the master, living as a follower of Christ, waiting for his return, and taking on and getting on with all the resources God gives us. Opportunities and obligations and yes, money and roles and situations, everything. You know, if we only thought about this parable in terms of money, it would just be way too restrictive. This is about while we wait for our Lord and Master, we take on all of what we have in life to be productive and to be fruitful for Him. See, as it turns out, actually, I think our normal way of thinking about the word talents, actually, in a way we apply this parable, actually shouldn't be ruled out. So it's a bit of a mind twist. This parable is about all of what God's given us: money, time, ability, yes, talents, gifts, opportunities, responsibilities. In fact, we shouldn't only think about this in terms of churchy things, because when you're a Christian, all of life belongs to Jesus. So this is about whatever you're doing, capitalize on it, take advantage of it, be about love for Him and faithfulness, and be energetic in service to Him while you wait. Don't make this waiting time a wasting time. Make it count while you can. Now, there's some great principles that come out of this story. Great principles to shape how we can think and live and be about church together. And I reckon there's heaps of principles we could draw out, but I just want to draw out five for you this morning. Five principles on our Vision Sunday. Here's the first one. And remember, this isn't just about money. This is about investing and using all of what God's given us in service to our Master and King. And the first one is this: our Master has given gifts differently or unequally. I mean, that clearly comes through the story, right? Five talents, two talents, one talent, or bags of gold. Why has the Master done that? Why didn't he just, you know, divide it up, you know, apportion it in equal measure to each of his servants? Well, we're told the answer. Have a look there, verse 15, where he says there, he gives out differently to each servant according to his ability. Now, in fact, in that measure of weight, they reckon five talents was about 5 years worth of wages. Two talents was about 2 years worth of wages, and one talent was about 1 year's worth of wages. I mean, all three were given a lot of money. This is a big lump sum payout. But yes, God's given each of them differently, unequally, each according to his ability. And here's the thing. There's no sense that the master is down about it, sort of begrudging the fact that he's giving different amounts to different servants according to their different abilities. He just makes the judgment. That's the way it should be. He knows his servants. The point in this is unequal distribution of what the servant has been given. It's actually not a bad thing. It's a good thing. God is sovereign. You know, God, he's the one who chooses. You know, he knows what's best for his servants. Now, I've got to say this. I think, you know, when I read Jesus' words in the parable, it actually makes me think of another part of God's word, Paul's word in Ephesians 4. I'd love you to turn to it in your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Ephesians 4. Now, you've got to keep your finger on, should have said that beforehand, but you've got to keep your finger on Matthew 25. But Ephesians 4, verse 5. I'm just going to read from that. Ephesians 4, verse 5. Now, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, talking to the church. He says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all is over all and through all and in all. Now see that one, God is bringing his people together. We're united. But then you've got verse 7. Have a look there. Saying that we're united, one in church, but we're different in the way God's gifted us. Have a look, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does the ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, what we see there from the very start, like from verse 7 onwards, we see this idea that God showers down his gifts as Christ apportions, distributes it. God chooses it here. God, different roles, different strengths, different capacities, different parts to play in the body of Christ. Recently we've done here at Christ Central that series on the book of 1 Corinthians. The language was there, was like the body, the church is like a body. You know, we all fit together in different ways. We're not all feet, we're not all mouths, we're not all hands, we're not all noses. You know, they all play their part. You know, fingers are for picking up. They're not for smelling. Imagine if your fingers could smell. I mean, that'd be useful. It'd be pretty gross too, I think. But noses do the smelling. Each person plays their own different part so that God's church would grow, so that it would grow in the knowledge of Jesus. So just flick back again, if you can, to Matthew 25. That's what we're really sticking with today. Matthew 25. See, God gives his gifts according to his choice. And with this parable, God gives out money. But really, it's about God gives out money and resources and opportunities and life situations and responsibilities and obligations to all of us in different ways because God knows what's best for us. None of us are the same. I mean, if we're Christians, we're the same and that we're servants, we're slaves of our master, but we're given things differently, aren't we? It's just the way it is. And this is good. God knows us. He's a loving master. Now, I don't think this parable should just be restricted to what goes on in church. We're servants to our master in all of life. But I do want us to be thinking about Christ Central and how we want to be about growing lifelong disciples of Jesus here. You know, here at Christ Central, we have this vision. It's our prayer. Our prayer is to see a flood of lifelong disciples across the north edge of Brisbane and beyond. That's what we'd love to see happen. That's what we pray for. But what does a lifelong disciple of Jesus look like? And how do we think about making disciples of Jesus? So I'm going to put some things on the screen. Hope this isn't information overload. For some of you, this will be familiar. For some of you, it'll maybe new. But here at Christ Central, we've got our five M's, our five passions. We think our five M's give some definition to what disciple of Jesus looks like. Let me spell this out quickly. You know, magnification means we love, we worship, we praise our Lord. Maturity means we're in God's word, growing and being conformed to the image of Jesus, our Lord. Missions, we're about evangelism and telling others about Jesus, our Lord. Membership means we're about the Lord's church. We welcome, we love, we care for each other. Ministry means we're serving using the gifts the Lord has given us. It's a summary picture of what a disciple of Jesus looks like. And Christ Central people, servants of the Master, serve in teams under these headings, these passions of magnification, maturity, mission, membership, ministry. See, we all help at seeing rounded, growing, lifelong disciples of Jesus. By the way, you see support there. This is other teams where people serve to work and support and underpin all that goes on. I mean, we have a committee of management who've worked on the financial stuff we're looking at today. We employ Matt Allen, who does a couple of days a week of beautiful, engaging design staff. We have a bunch of fantastic volunteer admin people there in support. We have a team of fellows who on a Sunday set up the chairs for you each Sunday morning and then pack them away again. I mean, they give you a chair to put your bottom on. I mean, how's that for support? People serve in a whole bunch of ways, the five M's support. But along with that, we have some focus areas. And again, I don't want this to be information overload for you this morning. But lots going on here, I know. But we're part of a church. We're in community with each other. And we have our five focus areas. Really, they're sort of connected with stages of life. Kids, youth, young adults. We have ministry around those different areas. We have ministry of people in there serving in teams, as well as all the 5M support, kids, youth, young adults. Now, why am I spelling all that right now? Well, getting back to this parable, the principle, our master gives gifts differently so it would be about service to him. That means the fact that we have varying responsibilities and obligations and resources and time and talents that'll play out in a diversity of ways as we serve in Christ's central teams. You know, some people serve in multiple teams. Some people serve in just one team. And there's a whole bunch of roles within the teams, depending on the gifts God has given you. We have leaders of the teams. We have people getting trained to be maybe future leaders of the teams. And we as a church have committed to different staff appointments and full-time, part-time across different aspects of this disciple-making. The point is there's diversity, there's difference. That's the way the body of Christ works. We're one, but we fit into the body in different ways. There's not just one size fits all here. To one, given five bags of gold. To another, two bags of gold. To another, one bag of gold. Five talents, two talents, one talent. What a beautiful thing this parable is teaching us. We're all different, different capacities, different resources, different opportunities, different energy, different health, different experiences. In this parable, the master's not critical of the different abilities his servants have. But he expects us to use it. He expects us to use it. Different abilities, capacities, resources, but we're all to do it in service, capitalizing on these things for God, for him, for his glory. Now we're talking about the principles from this parable. Here's the second one. It's this. With what we have, it all belongs to our master in the first place. I mean, it's not ours to use. It's his for us to use. Now, in this story, this is a very clear thing. Keeps coming up. I mean, check out verse 14, where it says, he called in his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. Then in the parable, the master goes on the journey while he's away. The one who's given five bags of gold puts it to work and gains five more. And the one who's given two bags of gold puts it to work and gains two more. And then the one with one bag just digs a hole in the ground for his master's money. Notice the end of verse 18. It says, he hid his master's money. See, it's always the master's. What an important principle this is for us. If God gives us responsibilities and obligations and people and resources and money and a level of health and opportunities, of course it makes sense that we're accountable to him for how we use it. I think all of God's people, we as servants, need this truth to sink, need to sink deep into us. I think we easily compartmentalize things. Like, you know, Sunday mornings, that's for God. Sunday afternoons, that's for me. You know, like God's in the church realm, but then, you know, when it comes to home life and work life and family life and leisure life, well, hands off, that's mine. Now, got news for you. It is not. It all belongs to God. God has given all of it to you. So is your view of God big enough to see that he provides it all? Your family, your work, your money, your house, your health, your weekend, your staff, your strengths, your abilities, your talents, it all belongs to him. We've just been lent those things so that we can use those things. You know, sometimes we know things have been lent to us. You know, you borrow something and you know it's not yours. You know, some of you would remember this, but a few years ago we borrowed, the Swans borrowed a car from one of the members here from Christ Central, Ralph Baisley. We're doing this big trip around Australia, lap around Australia. And well, Ralph said to Kirsten, you know, well, why don't you take our car, my car? That'd be easier for you. And you're like, we're sure? You're sure? That'd be amazing. We borrow his Pajero and he lets us put 23,000 kilometres on his car, right? I mean, who does that? I mean, maybe, I think church family. I mean, that's church family in action, right? But right through the trip, we're mindful, oh, this isn't our car. It's Ralph's car. We've got to take care of this trip. Well, we're going to put 23,000 kilometres on it, but we've got to take care of this car. You know, it's Ralph's car. In fact, I think what propelled Ralph to lend that car to us, be generous, because he knew it wasn't his car. It's God's car. And I think we're more likely to struggle with this truth that all of these things belong to God in the first place. Well, in a certain couple of areas. You know, here at Christ Central, in the area of ministry, we talk about ministry being about serving with our time, our talents, and our treasure. I think the areas where we kind of most struggle with this concept that it's actually God's for us to use for Him, it will probably be in the areas of, well, two areas, that is time and that is treasure. I mean, here at Christ Central, I see people giving of themselves generously with their time in Christian ministry, but I also wonder, has the world's thinking infiltrated into all of our thinking? You know, we have me time, and if we, you know, just cordon off that part of our life, you know, we cordon that part of our life off from God and from others, and we think that doesn't matter so much. But it does matter. There's no such thing as, well, really, me time. We're all given it for His glory, for His honor. I'm not saying there's not a place here for break and holidays and time off, but how much do we sort of go about it in this sort of greedy and self-serving way? No, all our time is given by God. We're given it to live for our Master. And the other area I think we struggle with in terms of really knowing that it's Lord's in the first place is treasure, money. Back to the bags of gold. Our money is not ours. It's His. I think this one tricks us up because we think, you know, well, money comes from the fact that I work. So it's, you know, it's got to be mine. But no, that's the Lord's too. It's His money He lends us. I mean, think about it. When it comes to work, God's given you your brain and the opportunities and your skills and the good fortune of an education. None of us are self-made. It's been given by God. I'll ask you, do you naturally think that money, you know, the thing that you tap, you know, tap your card with is actually not really yours? Well, that's a challenge, isn't it? It's God's. We're going to talk about money stuff today, finances, funding for ministry at Christ Central, taking some opportunities to raise up more gospel workers, more training. The elders and myself are going to put a bold challenge to you about making a gospel investment. Now, please pray that God would do a work in your heart so that you'd start considering your response from a place where you know that your money is actually not your money. And when God answers that prayer, we'll all be really thinking about how can I best use my money for God. Now that's a second principle. It's our Master's money. It's our Master's in the first place. The third principle is this. It's about energetic, productive, industrious service for our Master, not about the size of what we actually give or we produce. This comes back to the three servants. Notice the last servant is different. With the last servant, he doesn't produce anything, so there's only judgment for him. It's a very bleak end for him. It's a very bleak end to the parable. We'll get to that, but let's think about the first two servants here. They're given different amounts. They produce different amounts, but for the Master, the different amounts don't matter to him. His words to the first servant, verse 21, is the same words that he gives to his second servant in verse 23. Actually, let's look at these words. Verse 21 says, his Master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Now, verse 21, First servant, verse 23, second servant. It's word for word the same. Word for word the same. Two different amounts. It doesn't matter. It just goes to show the quantity of the output doesn't matter. The point is they know their master will return. And they're living like they know their master will return. So for them, waiting time does not mean wasting time. They're getting on with it. They're investing well. Make the money work for them, taking the resources, the opportunities, the responsibilities, the obligations, time, talents, treasure. That's specific to them. And applying energy and effort. That's what matters to God. The energetic service, not the size of the output. It's a beautiful picture of the relationship we have with God, I reckon. The relationship we have with God through Jesus Christ. You know, it's always grace. We're saved by grace. We live by grace. You know, because God knows our starting point. We're not measured by the output of what others do. Isn't that good news? You know, I reckon we ourselves do enough of comparing ourselves to others, but God doesn't do that. My Christian brothers and sisters here, God knows your life, your situation, your opportunities, your responsibilities, your family, your health, your work, your time, your talents, your treasure. He knows you. But I ask the question, with what God has given you, are you getting stuck in with energy? And passion and working hard and making this time count. He's given these things to us. He's expecting us to use them for him. On this Vision Sunday, we're talking about an opportunity, opportunities to be at God's work on the north edge of Brisbane. In a second, I'm going to fill you out on some stuff, fill you in on some stuff, opportunities to be about mission, training up more gospel workers. We're going to put out a call to be involved in gospel ministry and financially invest in gospel ministry. And we want you to consider these things seriously, but in making a decision to invest in new ways, we want you to be wholehearted and passionate and involved and full of faith with what God's given you. But you don't have to worry about what God's given others. It's always going to be different. But aren't those words the words we want to hear when King Jesus comes back? Well done, good and faithful servant. Now on to the fourth principle, and that is our reward. Our reward is our master's joy. Our reward for being this good and faithful servant is we get to share in the master's joy. Again, the master has exactly the same words for those first two servants. Check out the end of verse 21, for instance, where at the end of verse 21, he says, "Come and share your master's happiness." So, or the end of verse 23, to the second servant, "Come and share your master's happiness." You know, after all this industrious, energetic activity, investing, capitalizing what God's given them, that's the reward. These servants get to be happy that their master is happy. And that's actually what the servants want. I want you to see this is it's an incredibly penetrating picture of the Christian life, the true Christian life. See, when you found new life in Christ, when we put our trust in Jesus' death and resurrection, when we've said, "I repent of my sin, I'm not king, no, Jesus is king." You see, there's this change that takes place, a new attitude is planted in us and it keeps growing, but it's the attitude, our Lord's pleasure, what gives him joy, is what we want the most. His happiness is our happiness. Again, it comes back to the fact this is a relationship thing that you have when you're a Christian. We're servants, we're slaves. Jesus is our master, we serve him. But we want that to be the case. We want him to be our master. We want for him to have joy. If you're here and you're trying to get your head around Christianity, well, what's about? Well, let me say this. Christian faith is not this therapeutic thing aimed to make your life better. Okay? It's not about giving you some meaning in life and giving you some direction. It's not there to help you be a better dad, a better person. It's this big, warm, fuzzy spiritual blanket just to help you get through life. No, when you realize who Jesus is and what he's done for you, you realize it's actually not for you. It's for him. And his joy is our greatest joy. And when I read those words, come in, share in your master's happiness, it can't help but makes me think of other parables of Jesus. There's that parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. Not in Matthew, but in Luke's gospel, Luke 15, you can look it up sometime. But Jesus says there, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. People getting saved. People moving from being lost, spiritually lost in sin and death, but being found. And entering into this relationship with God through Christ. That's what makes God happy. So that's what would make us happy. See, how good was it to hear before those interviews with Emmanuel and Sharon, how they've discovered grace, how they've discovered what Christ did for them. God just did that work. God revealed himself to them. They discovered grace, the gospel. Well, that's what we're praying for, that more and more people, a flood of lifelong disciples across the north edge of Brisbane and beyond. That's why we invite you to be involved and, be part of disciple making and disciple forming. We invite you to serve and support in those different areas, those five passions of magnification and maturity and mission and membership and ministry. I think those five passions are God's passions. And that's why we want you to see our focus areas prosper and grow too. Kids and youth and young adults meeting Jesus. We want to see teams and new people trained in ministry, the word being taught, the gospel proclaimed, children and youth and teenagers making disciples of Jesus and growing disciples of Jesus. Speaking of young adults, the new university campus kicks off next year. Tends to be mostly young adults, right? But that's a new mission field full of opportunity. Rachel Cotterer, who's part of our church, will be starting out there with the Australian Fellowship of Evangelical Students, or AFES. But wouldn't it be great to be part of the Lord's work, sending people, training up people, so that Rachel's supported in this new gospel work, so those who are lost in sin and death get to be found, so they enjoy new life in Jesus, forgiveness. We want to fill you in on that one a bit more. But energetic, faithful, productive work, investing in what God's given us, totally worth it. The reward is our master's joy. So we're looking at this, the principles from this parable. We've looked at four. I'm going to give you the fifth and the last. And I'm going to pose it as a question. And the question is this. Are you a servant of the master? Are you a servant of the master? I mean, one reason Jesus gives this parable is to offer a warning. And this is about the third servant. I mean, the listener of this parable is supposed to see how high the stakes are. What's going to happen when there's this different relationship between this guy and the master, and I'll say this, a so-called servant. We don't have time to look at it today, but this is from verse 24, but I put it to you, this so-called servant actually doesn't know his master. There's no energetic service passion. There's no eagerness for the servant to please his master. The master sees through this guy. Says verse 26, you wicked, lazy servant. There's only judgment for him. When you know God in Jesus Christ, he's your king. He does this work, this ongoing work in our hearts, taking away stinginess, taking away fear, taking away laziness. So you want to be about his work. You want to capitalize. You want to invest. You want to get on with the busyness of pleasing your master in all that you do and all that he's given you. If that sounds just plain crazy, it's because you don't yet know Jesus. You don't really know him. And we want you to know Jesus. We want you to be his disciple. When you put your faith in him, priorities start to change. Waiting time is not wasting time. You want to get on with it and serve him while you can. Now, today's Vision Sunday, we're going to talk about some opportunities ahead to serve for the joy of our master. I've actually mentioned a bunch of things already, but what we're going to do right now is we're going to watch a video. I'm going to talk some more. Just introduce the video. We're going to hear from some of our staff team. We have Mike, who heads up mission, the passion of mission. And there's Kylie, who's our kids pastor. And there's James, who works in the area of magnification, who's going to focus mostly on youth. And then we've also got Matt, who heads up maturity, but also heads up young adults. He's going to talk mostly about that. So video goes for a little few minutes. So sit back and enjoy this. And then we're going to think about this some more. Thanks. Well, how good is that? Love our staff team that we have. And they mentioned some things that would require of us investment, using our time, talents and treasure in service to our master for those things to happen. I want to talk about this with you. And I also want to talk to you about where some things are sitting right now with our church in terms of finances, investing in staffing, investing in ministry. You know, we are, just to set the scene, we are a little bit of a different church. We haven't yet gone down the route of, our own building. I guess it would be great to have, wouldn't it? I hope we can someday. But rather than big expenditure, debt, commitment to that, we keep it cheap on a property front by renting some space. We rent this school hall on a Friday night for youth, on a Sunday morning. We rent the new hub office space that can work for gathering and meeting space as well. So as a church, we made decisions together to not pay for building, but raise up dedicated teachers, trainers, leaders, gospel workers. Here they are. And I've got these faces up because we financially support them. Or actually, I've got them up also because maybe I'm thinking you think we financially support them when we don't. Let me explain that. Let me explain. Matt Allen, bottom right-hand corner, he's in the F support. He's part-time, 2 days a week doing admin and mostly design. See, we're looking at a slide of Matt on it because I asked him to make a slide with Matt on it. That's how it works, you see. He's done everything that looks pretty around this place. But let me explain some of the other faces. Mike and Chris, they're full-time students at Queensland Theological College, QTC. They're committing themselves to theological study. They've left previous paid employment. It's a big step to take. It's about equipping time for the future. We want to support as many of those people as we can. It's preparation time for gospel ministry. Previously, we've had different students who've been with us. We've now sent right around the state. And for next year, we're sending back Chris where he belongs, and that's Townsville. And we're going to miss Chris and Biebs and their three kids. And so Mike and Sarah and Elle are still going to be with us next year, which is awesome. But in terms of funding gospel ministry, PCQ is right behind us as an equipping church for future gospel workers. And I don't know if you know this, but they fully subsidize Chris to be with us. So he gets financial support, but PCQ fully subsidizes Chris to be with us so that we can get on in equipping and training and he can have good experience in ministry. Chris actually does not affect our budget. And you've just met Emily today, but Emily replaces Chris. Emily is a Presbyterian women's candidate. The term is a deaconess. And again, PCQ has asked us to play our part in training and to equipping to give Emily experience in ministry, more experience in ministry. We're excited that Emily is giving all of, you know, herself, her time, her talents, her treasure, wanting to be a part of gospel ministry. We want to equip her for that. And just like Chris, in recognition that we're a training church, PCQ will fully subsidize Emily to be with us as well. It's a vote of confidence from PCQ that we're a training church. And to put you on the picture of how our budget works, here's another explanation about one of our team members. It's Kylie. Kylie's in the team. She's practically full-time in the team. She's critical to the team, does great kids ministry, leading a great team of kids leaders. But here's something maybe you don't know, and that is she receives no financial support to do that. She just gives of herself in this church. It's incredible and generous. It's just another example of someone who from, you know, with what God has given them is energetic and productive and in the business of serving the King. It's a privilege to be part of this team. I'm sure you've been blessed by them. The King, the thing about dedicated staff, this team, it's not about just they do ministry though. You know, Ephesians 4, we read it before, it talks about leaders, teachers, they're to equip others for doing ministry. That's how leadership works. We're all different, different gifts, capacities, opportunities, responsibilities, but leaders who enable and equip others to serve. And as we've appointed people, God has brought the growth. Kids used to be a few families when we just launched Christ Central. Not anymore. Youth used to be four teenagers. Now on Friday night, it was over 50. Young adults only kicked off last year. It's now around about 20. And there's always training and equipping to do. The cool thing about young adults is that it's a cool stage of life when there's opportunities there to equip and train. Emmeline Williams, I did a voluntary internship with YouthWorks this year. Next year, she's going to be one of the first students at Petrie Campus doing nursing. And speaking of Petrie Campus, what a great opportunity that is. We don't want to waste the time. We don't want to sit around while we wait for Jesus. We want to get in there. We want to be about God's work. We want to support Christian ministry. You know, this is right on our doorstep now. We want to be about making disciples of Jesus and supporting the works that's happening there, training young men and women in the Word, training them to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. Now, going on a bit this morning, I know, but stay with me. This is important stuff. The theme I want you to hear here today is a theme of training. We're a training church. We want to grow as a training church. In fact, we have exciting opportunities to provide experiences of training that we've never done before. That is the real prospect of changing lives and growing ministry. And it's called the Ministry Training Network. Some other places call it the Ministry Training Scheme. In fact, four people in this church have done the ministry training scheme, and they are myself, Chris Gargan, Mike, and Sarah Zontek. We're going to hand out a booklet in a second so you can read more about it. MTN and Matt Fong as well. Okay, that's five. Okay, so MTN is a powerful internship. It's a traineeship program. Here's some of the basics. It's about equipping. It's about equipping our own. Unlike Chris, who comes from Townsville, and as it's turned out, we're sending him back to Townsville, this is about taking one of our own, our young people, disciples of Jesus, who want to be more effective in being disciple-making disciples. It's intensive training. It's different ministry experiences, having a mentor trainer, being in the Word with others, trying new things, failing at things, but learning and growing as you go. And it's intensive because it's 2 years. It's really giving your time of your life to training. Unlike Mike or Chris or Emily, it's not during the time of theological study. It's before that. So it's a good testing time to work out if full-time ministry might be for you. In the booklet we're going to give you, has a bunch of quotes for those who've done MTS. But a common thing really said is it's utterly transformative. Utterly transformative. And in terms of the mechanics of MTN, the funding is through PCQ, Presbyterian Church of Queensland. They pay 50% of an MTN salary and the local church pays 50%, and we would pay therefore $15,000 for a trainee. The PCQ would pay the same. Now we have a prospect for next year. It's very exciting. We have someone we want to put to you, and his name is this. It is Luke Jardine. Luke Jardine. Some of you know him. If Luke was to do MTN next year, he'd be quitting his job. Let me tell you this, he's not doing it for the pay, that is for sure. Think about the parable. Luke wants to do it so that he can be all about the Master's service, giving himself to God's work. He wants to be trained. Luke wants to be involved in ministry, getting shaped by the Word so he can bring the Word to others. If Luke does MTN next year, it would be mostly in the area of youth. But wouldn't it be amazing to see if, you know, with training and support, he could also be one day a week at the new university campus and connecting with uni students and giving training and support and sharing the gospel. You know, the proven track record of ministry traineeship like this is it does incredible things. It trains up more gospel workers. It grows ministry. Again, thinking about the parable, a traineeship like this is very productive. It produces. There is output. It's very energetic service for the King. So the eldership, with the support of the committee of management, would like to put this proposal before you, the appointment of Luke Jardine as an MTN for the next 2 years. There's a congregational meeting scheduled in about 2 weeks' time for that vote to happen. But here's the thing, we cannot do it. We cannot do it without the backing of Christ Central. Not just saying, we can't just be saying we want this to happen, but there would actually need to be some new, significant, sacrificial steps made in financial giving for us to support this. Now, the details are in the booklet, which everyone needs to get today and read. But as it stands, by the end of this year, our forecasted deficit will be about $50,000. Now, a deficit is not new to us. We've put this reality to the church over the last couple of years as we've appointed staff. We're expecting a deficit. In other words, we've been able to draw on our surplus to pay for staff. We're grateful to be in that position. But we can't rely on the surplus anymore if we're going to support current staff and raise up more workers for ministry and appoint a bunch of MTNs for the future. We wouldn't want Luke just to be the first. We'd want him to be the first of a dozen in the years ahead. You know, because Jesus will return. See, while we wait, we don't want to just waste the time. So I want to ask, would you be able to give and give sacrificially and energetically and passionately to be about the Lord's business? In the budget forecast for the next 2 years, with an MTN included, so another $15,000, we've made a provision for 10% growth in giving in 2020, then a further 5% growth in giving for 2021. And even on that model with growth, our surplus would soon be down to nothing in the coming years. So the eldership is very keen to be clear with you on this. Here at Christ Central, we need to address the matter of financially supporting ministry and ministry growth. We need to address the matter of investing in gospel ministry now so that we can be in the position of ongoing training and raising up more workers. It's very exciting. We want to take these opportunities for training and raising up more workers for the harvest field. It seems what God is putting before us, people who want to get trained and take the gospel forward, and a growing mission field, people who need the gospel, well, it seems like these things are coming together. And so the eldership, in consultation with the committee and management, have decided that this is the moment in our church life we would like, well, we would like to give you a way of you saying, you indicating your level of financial support that you could provide. We haven't done this before in Christ Central, though it's not an uncommon thing in churches at all. Included in the booklet, we're going to give you an anonymous pledge form to take home, which we'd like you to fill in to tell us what would be the increase in giving you could give to invest with next year. Not as a percentage, not the sum total, but the uplift of what you would give, what you'd be prepared to give from this year, an annual amount. If you're a disciple of Christ and you've recently joined Christ Central, made it your spiritual home, well, maybe you haven't started giving yet. Well, this is a great opportunity. When you're a Christian, you should give. If you work part-time or full-time or pocket money or work at Macca's or start working after uni or starting a trade or middle of your career or drawing on your superannuation, it doesn't matter. We're all in different situations, but we should give. And it's a serious matter. If you're married, you need to talk about this with your spouse. You need to look at your situation. You need to look at your budget. You need to look at your year next year. But we'd like you to make a decision even this week to return the anonymous pledge by next Sunday. It's only a week. Only a week. We realize that. But we reckon that could be a good thing. Pray. Be serious about it. Talk about it and give a pledge. Would you do that? And then we have a congregational meeting planned for Sunday night, the 3rd of November at the Hub. On the basis of pledges we receive, we can work out this to go forward with deciding on the appointment of our first, hopefully first of many, MTNs next year. So we're giving you this paper. There's a lot of detail there. It explains some more things that I haven't said, so you need to read it. It'll be online for those who aren't here today. It really is a sit-down, cup of coffee moment this week to be had. Read it, consider it, pray about it. Think about the opportunities to invest in gospel ministry. And your input, your feedback is essential as the elders consider the best steps for the future. A few things stand. I said before, look at your budget, look at your situation, look at what's going on for you, your family next year. That's really important. Everyone is different. But also, I just want to say this, look ahead and know that you wait. We wait for our Master's return, and while we wait for Jesus, we're to be productive and active and investing in what He's given us. And what matters is that energy and that passion is for His business. It doesn't matter the size of the return. We're all different. But as I brought a as we brought, I think, is a bold proposal for big sacrificial steps for investing in gospel ministry. We are called by God to be bold. That's how we get a return. That's how we use what God's given us. We don't put it, we don't bury it in the ground. We use it for Him. So I invite you, let's be bold together. And the outcome, the reward for being industrious and active and faith-filled, a body of Christ together, is we get to share in our Lord's joy. We get to share in the joy of seeing more people won to Christ and growing as disciples of Him. More people who get to spend eternity with us. And I want to say this again. Started with this. In the story, it has the servants, how they use the master's money. But the story shouldn't just be, isn't just about money. That's not the only point. Really, it's about all of life. It's not only church things, it's everything. How you use your opportunities, your responsibilities, your work life, your family life, your leisure time, your free time, your resources, your money, your relationships. I just want to say it's all of life as we serve our Master. So we're asking you to pledge an amount of money. But what's important actually is the amount or the thing you don't write down in this whole exercise. Because this parable is about you pledge your life. You pledge your life to busily serve your King. You do it eagerly. We want to do it out of love. We know our Lord Jesus and we want to serve Him.